Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of 3Tune Tuesday. I am your host, Bonaparte, and 3Tune Tuesday is my opportunity to whisk you away to a time when wind-up phonographs were the height of technology, and the art of recording music was still a wonder of acoustics. Today is Tuesday, June the 11th, and you found your way to my digital abode, a quaint cottage nestled in the sprawling digital countryside where all are welcome. Please step inside and make yourself comfortable. Envision yourself settling into a large, plush Victorian chair, the kind that envelops you in comfort with an old-fashioned stand-up radio beside you. Close your eyes, and let me guide you on a journey through time, back to the dawn of recorded music. Our theme for the week is the dawn of recorded music. As we step back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, we'll uncover the magic and marvel of the earliest recordings. This era marked the birth of a new technology that allowed people to listen to music in their own homes rather than solely at live performances. The invention of the phonograph and the gramophone opened up a world where the voices and instruments of beloved performers could be heard at the turn of a crank, changing the landscape of the music industry forever. In these early days, recording was an entirely acoustic process, relying on the natural sounds captured by large, horn-like devices that funneled the music onto wax cylinders and then discs. There were no microphones, no electrical amplification, just the pure, unadulterated sound of the artist and their instruments. Tonight, we'll listen to some of these pioneering recordings and explore their historical and cultural significance. So without further ado, let's embark on this melodious journey through time, starting with our first tune. Our first song is The Laughing Song by George W. Johnson, recorded in 1891. George Johnson holds the distinguished honor of being one of the first African-American recording artists in history. Born into slavery in 1846, Johnson's life was a testament to resilience and talent. After gaining his freedom, he moved to New York City, where his infectious laughter and vocal abilities caught the attention of the early recording industry. Johnson's recordings provided a rare opportunity for African-American performers to reach a wide audience during an era when racial segregation was rampant. The 1890s themselves were a vibrant decade for entertainment, marked by the rise of vaudeville and minstrel shows. These forms of entertainment were immensely popular, offering a variety of acts including music, comedy, and dance. It was within this cultural milieu that Johnson's Laughing Song found its audience. The song's catchy melody and the distinctive sound of Johnson's laughter made it a novelty hit. Vaudeville and minstrel shows, while problematic in their perpetuation of racial stereotypes, were significant platforms for performers of the time, and Johnson's success was a notable achievement. The Laughing Song was one of the first songs to be widely distributed on phonograph cylinders. These were phonographic recordings made before discs. They were literally wax cylinders. So it was a groundbreaking recording. The song exemplifies the early days of recorded music, where the limitations of acoustic recording required artists to project their voices clearly and perform with precision. The popularity of the song helped to establish the commercial viability of recorded music and demonstrated the potential for recordings to reach audiences far and wide. So let's take a moment and listen to The Laughing Song.
Laughing Song by Mr. George W. Johnson. As I was coming around the corner, I some people sang, if I could stand it, I could hear it sound as fine. It's a hill like a snowplow, it's a mountain. Thank you.
Let's take a break between songs to take a small intermission and talk about our favorite brew here at Plant Skeleton. Our favorite brew is, of course, Skeleton Brew Coffee. If you haven't yet had the pleasure of giving it a go, Skeleton Brew Coffee is a unique blend crafted to perfection. With its rich, full-bodied flavor, each sip of the coffee will transport you back to the golden days of early recorded music. Imagine yourself in a cozy parlor, the warm sound of a phonograph playing off in the corner, and the aroma of freshly brewed coffee filling the air. Whether you prefer a light, medium, or a dark roast, Skeleton Brew has something to suit you, offering six distinct roasts that are sure to delight. But that's not all. Skeleton Brew Coffee is more than just a delightful drink. It's a product you can feel good about. Their coffee is small batch roasted to ensure the highest quality and freshness. They use only fair trade beans, supporting sustainable practices and fair wages for farmers. Plus, 10% of all sales are donated to a nonprofit arts organization, helping to support the very arts that bring so much joy to our lives here as we listen to music. And for everyone out here listening, we've got a special promotion with them. Use the code TUNE10, that's TUNE10, at checkout for a 10% discount on your next purchase. So head on over and treat yourself to a good cup of Skeleton Brew Coffee. Our next tune brings us to the world of opera with the legendary Enrico Caruso, one of the most famous opera singers of the early 20th century. Born in Naples, Italy in 1873, Caruso's powerful voice and emotive performances captivated audiences worldwide. His talent and charisma made him a star in both Europe and America, and he became one of the first truly global celebrities. Caruso's career coincided with significant advancements in recording technology, allowing his remarkable voice to be preserved and enjoyed by generations to come, and indeed, enjoyed by us here today. The early 1900s marked a significant transition in recording technology, away from flat cylinders toward flat discs, which we're familiar with today, which offered better sound quality and durability. Caruso's recordings played a pivotal role in popularizing the gramophone, a device that became a staple in many households. His 1904 recording of Vesti Laguba was among the first to be made on these new discs, setting a standard for future recordings. This transition helped solidify the commercial viability of commercial music on flat discs, and demonstrated the potential for bringing these performances into homes around the world. So this song is an aria from the opera Pagliacci by Ruggero Leoncavallo, and it's one of the most iconic pieces in the operatic repertoire. In the opera, the character Canio, a clown, laments his heartbreak and betrayal while putting on his costume for a performance. The aria's emotional intensity and Caruso's powerful delivery made this recording an instant success. It showcased the dramatic potential of recorded music to bring opera, the arts, and culture into the home and the living room. Let's take another brief intermission and talk a little bit about the entertainment treasures on the Blind Skeleton website. At the Blind Skeleton website, which is located at https://blindskeleton.one, you will find a wealth of fascinating content that dives deep into the rich history of early 20th century entertainment. Whether you're interested in movie reviews or articles on silent films, or historical insights into the golden age of radio, our website has something for every lover of the vintage arts and entertainment. It's a treasure trove of knowledge that brings the past to life, making it accessible and engaging for modern audiences. We also encourage you to join our vibrant community on social media. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to stay updated on our latest posts, special features, and interactive discussions. Your engagement and feedback are invaluable to us as they help us create content that resonates with you. So go and visit the website today and immerse yourself in the enchanting world of vintage entertainment. Our final song of the show is Gavotte by Charles Dalmain, recorded in 1904. Charles Dalmain was a prominent violinist and one of the pioneering figures in the early days of recorded music. Born in England in 1871, he moved to the United States, where he became a leading performer and recording artist. His skillful violin playing and wide repertoire made him a favorite among early recording enthusiasts, and his contributions helped to establish the violin as a popular instrument in the new and burgeoning recording industry. At the turn of the century, dance music was incredibly popular, and the gavotte, a traditional French dance, was no exception. Originating in the Baroque period, the gavotte had a resurgence in the late 19th and early 20th century as part of the broader interest in classical and folk dance forms. This recording of gavotte captures the elegance and charm of this dance, offering listeners a glimpse into the musical tastes of the time. The piece reflects the era's fascination with dance music and the importance of the music, of such dance music, in the early recording industry. Recording string instruments like the violin in the early 1900s in an acoustic format presented unique challenges. Without the benefit of modern microphones and electric amplification, artists like Dalmain had to rely on the acoustic recording process, which used those large horn-like devices we had previously mentioned to capture sound. These devices required musicians to play with great precision and clarity to ensure that their performances were accurately recorded. Despite these limitations, Dalmain's gavotte is a testament to the artistry of these artists and their technical skill that enabled them to record these songs, sounds, and music onto the discs. That brings us to the end of our show for the day. Thank you for joining me on this journey through the dawn of recorded music. Your company has made this exploration of musical history all the more enjoyable. We've delved into the transformative era when music began, recorded on wax cylinders to be enjoyed in homes worldwide. We listened to the jovial The Laughing Song by George W. Johnson, felt the emotional depth of Enrico Caruso singing his opera, and danced to the elegant gavotte by Charles Dalmain. Each piece gave us a unique glimpse into the early days of recording technology and its profound impact on the music industry. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode and found it as wonderful to listen to as I did. If you did, please consider subscribing to our podcast and leaving a review. Your feedback helps us to continue bringing you these musical time travels every week. Don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Three Tune Tuesday, where we will continue our journey through the rich tapestry of musical history, bringing you more enchanting melodies and captivating stories. Until then, keep the music alive in your hearts, and may it bring joy to your days.